Hello, everyone. Welcome to Beyond Awakening, the Future of Spiritual Practice. I'm Paul Taylor, the president of Evolving Wisdom, one of the organizations producing this event. Tonight, we'll be continuing our exploration with a very special guest, a man who already once helped to transform spiritual practice in America and the West, the beloved spiritual teacher and deep human being who began his journey as Richard Alpert and is now known as Ram Dass. Terry Patton is a visionary behind this groundbreaking series and our host. Terry is a leading voice in the fields of integral evolutionary practice, leadership, and spirituality, who supports, challenges, guides, and connects evolutionaries all over the world. He is the author with Ken Wilber of Integral Life Practice, and his personal website is integralspiritualpractice.com. Welcome, Terry.
Thank you, Paul. Hello, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to Beyond Awakening. This series was begun, as you know, to serve the evolution of consciousness and culture by creating a deep public dialogue about how our spirituality can play a catalytic role in helping us rise now to the challenges of our time and make this transition to a sustainable human presence on our planet. We face enormous ecological and engineering challenges, but the cultural and spiritual challenges are probably even more fundamental and less widely understood. So that's our focus here. We've had a whole series of adventuresome, probing, and enlivening conversations in which we've focused on many specific aspects of this question. And tonight, I'm just overjoyed to be joined in conversation by Ram Dass in a dialogue entitled Being Love. Right here, right now. Ram Dass is one of America's most beloved teachers of a universal spirituality. He sparked a revolution 40 years ago with the publication of Be Here Now. This landmark classic, which he has articulated with an amazingly soulful example, inspired my generation to see the world in a whole different light. And over the past four decades, Ram Dass has been an inspiration and a catalyst for seekers worldwide, challenging people everywhere to find new sources of meaning and purpose. I first found out about him back in the 60s when I heard about two renegade Harvard psychologists, Richard Alpert and Timothy Leary, who had tried LSD and had it opened their minds, and they felt that it could spark a revolution in consciousness, and the psychedelic revolution kind of unfolded from there. And then later I read about his profound encounters with his guru, Neem Karoli Baba, after which he helped to lead what was for me the much more important revolution, the decision to try to get high without drugs through meditation and Eastern sciences of mystical transformation, a high from which we would never have to come down. This revolution matured into an exploration of spiritual service. And Ram Dass wrote a book called How Can I Help that kind of epitomized that. This process helped give birth to the whole culture of spirituality and service that we're engaging and extending on this very teleseries. Almost 14 years ago, like many millions of others, I was shocked and upset to hear about his near-fatal stroke. And then later, deeply touched by the reawakening brought on by that ordeal and his recovery as it was chronicled in the award-winning film, Fierce Grace. Ram Dass has always shared his life experiences authentically and transparently while offering a wealth of timeless teachings on awakening, service, love, and the path of the heart. He's been one of the key people who has helped lay the ground for the whole conversation that we're having now. And this opportunity to talk with him coincides not only with the 40th anniversary of the publication of Be Here Now, but a new book by Ram Dass entitled Be Love Now, which is a deeply personal and wonderfully universal book that guides you through the pitfalls and perils of your own spiritual path, recognizing the whole thing, beginning to end, inside out, top to bottom, as a matter of love, first, last, and always. Speaking personally, I just want to say thank you, Ram Dass, for being here now with me and all of us across four decades of spiritual practice and inquiry. And thank you especially for being right here, right now, with us in this conversation as we peer forward into the future of spiritual practice. It's a tremendous honor and a delight to have you with us. I'm so grateful that you're
here.
Thank
you, Terry. Thank you, Terry.
So Ram Dass, be love now. And I guess what I'm hearing from you is that this matter of being love is our opportunity in every moment, but it's also the deepest matter that we grow in across a lifetime, that it's something that even though your guru gave it to you in an instant, you've been deepening into it for all these years since you met him.
That's right. That's right. But you can't do being.
No.
And I've got to be love. And that's just not easy.
It's not easy, but it's somehow, once one has the grace of falling into that, it is easy, isn't it? It's not...
No.
Not easy, but easy.
I feel that I've been doing it. I've been being them more and more and more. And I've just not registered that I've been being love. Because I talk to people and they say, I'm loving, and they feel love, and I don't know. I'm doing nothing.
Mm.
But it's just being. Because I know that I appreciate being a human being who will elicit loving feelings in everybody.
Mm.
So now I should, I'm loving you.
Mm.
I'm loving you. I'm loving all of you. That's being, that's doing.
Mm.
I'm being loved. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
So, Ram Dass, this being, just being, and letting the love that you are simply be what it is, this is the point, then, not any of the doings that you thought you understood to do. Even in those years of eloquently pointing us in the direction of being here now,
That's right.
Being an advocate for your guru and all the rest, there was still perhaps not as much of a trust as you're now feeling in the being itself.
That's right. That's right. And I could tell you in technical terms, because I am a jivatman, means an individual soul, and I'm trying to be an atman, which is oversoul, because the oversoul is love and peace and all those things. And I just can't be it. So I wrote the book and I'm being
one of the things, Ramdas, that I experienced as we had our conversation last week, and that I have heard from people who are seeing you more often, is they feel that in this time, in some ways, you're eloquent in your silences in ways that are even more profound than the tremendous eloquence of your many years as a international speaker and lecturer, that in the silences of your simple being, you're actually being love, being truly the presence of what you were always talking about in a way that is even more palpable. And that's certainly how I have been experiencing you. And it's been deeply touching. It's a reminder to me of just how deep the depth is, how much more profound profundity is than my ideas of profundity.
That's exactly what I feel, too. That I treat it much more superficially, and I've got to go deeper and deeper and deeper. Not go deeper, but I will be deeper and deeper.
Mm. To allow the depths it is to really,
yeah,
and it takes trust, yeah.
It's all in all of us. Every one of us has the Atman, the God within, and we think we be our ego, which is in our head.
Mm-hmm.
This is in the heart, in the middle of the heart space. That's what you concentrate in. And the soul we could call loving awareness. Loving awareness. The awareness is just aware of everything. And then you can love everything. You can love everything. And then you're in an environment of love. And that's a plane of consciousness that not many of us go through, because we hold on to who we think we are, which is the ego. We hold on who we think we are.
Mm.
And we don't give a chance to who we really are back in our hearts. And in that heart, I has been on and on through time. It's infinite. It's going incarnation.
Mm.
And this incarnation, we as souls, we're visiting. The ego is actually it's attached to the incarnation. And that's why we are in our ego, we're identifying with our ego.
Right.
Then we're frightened of death, because the ego is going to get its. The incarnation goes, so does the ego. The soul, or the heart, I, has been going incarnation, 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 And they, this one, just another one. Just another dying. For the soul, it's not, no big deal. No big deal.
It seems as though in this time since your stroke, as you've reckoned with your own aging in different ways, and in what you wrote in Still Here, and what you've now written in Be Love Now, that in some ways you're reckoning with aging and looking over the precipice has been oddly enough a kind of a blissful experience on a certain level, that you've really found it both necessary and then possible to let go even more deeply and to discover yourself already content, already happy, already
I
with your guru, in a sense.
I started with a seminar with Zalman Schachter on conscious aging. And I've been conscious of aging and death about 20 years. 20 years now. But now that I'm 79,
yeah,
it's more interesting.
Huh.
Aging is really fun. It's you got a lot of wisdom you've got over the years that you've amassed, and of course there's the body stuff. Is like your vehicle for this plane, and I don't take my body very seriously. It's got a stroke and lots of illnesses and all pains and things like that, but I don't seem to. I don't. They're not me. They're my vehicle. It's like having a car that's got a leaky valve and a rim on one wheel that it doesn't work, and
but you're still the love, the soul being, the conscious heart that was there all along, life to life, there sitting in the driver's seat, and in some way not disturbed that the jalopy has some rough edges.
Well, I love the jalopy. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
I love my body. It's been taking me through so much. And it captures my consciousness. Unless I don't want it to, and you know I don't, yeah.
As we discussed when we spoke before, we've had this conversation for several months with quite a few wonderful, deep, spiritual teachers about this time and the fear that comes up in people as we look ahead and see so many different world crises and the sense that our devotion of so much of our lives to spirituality, to growth, to our higher consciousness somehow ought to make give us the ability to make a contribution that might help our world in some way. You know, we really want to help. We want to make a difference. We want to see what new possibilities there might be.
Well, if an individual wants to make a contribution to peace, for example, they have to go inside there and find their own peace and then radiate it. And they won't get peace with a peace rally. The peace within us is manifested, and that is going to give the world peace if we as individuals go inside and then manifest outside. I just had this conversation with Dan Ellsberg, and he supports going outside, and I can support going inside, because we're all dealing with the fear. But I when you deal with fear, it's from the ego, and the ego is filled with fear, and the soul is filled with love. It doesn't feel the fear.
Mm.
And I register the situation, the world situation,
mm.
and I feel that I'm going inside and manifest my peace. And I'm not frightened. I'm not frightened by terrorism, things like that. Of course, I don't fly. I'm just an island boy.
Right. But in some way, you're offering spiritual advice that applies to all of us, whether we fly every week or not. That there's a kind of deeper understanding in which fear really can be relaxed, and that the effort to change things based on fear and anxiety just really can be let go, really let go profoundly and deeply and even more than that, and that a kind of being force, a radiance of love is what we'll discover if we can let go below the level we thought was radical to an even more total degree.
About a week ago, we had a earthquake here, and I experienced it in my body, but I didn't any register fear.
Mm.
And we were over at a hotel, and some of the hotel guests were going to higher ground because they were afraid of a tsunami.
Mm.
And it was clear in their minds, because the ocean was absolutely...
The ocean was calm. There was no tsunami coming. It was obvious. But there was a, inner tsunami in their minds. Yeah. Yeah, got it. So in the questions that I've seen folks have already typed into the teleseminar window, there have been a whole range of questions that I can see are flooding through that, you know, one of the main things is a lot of people from all over the world are writing in to say thank you, that at some point earlier in their lives you crossed their path, or books that you wrote crossed their path, or,
yep,
you know, something, and that it really made a difference. A couple of them even said that you saved their lives. It's a beautiful thing to feel.
Yeah.
And at this time, you really, in some sense, are, it seems to me, making a little bit of a different move, in the sense that you're saying, all the truths that I spoke about and that I gave my life to, that you know, that you served, and then the cultural influence that you have exercised, you don't renounce it, but that in some way, in the process of all that, you're discovering an even greater depth of being that, not just serving it, that somehow in your doing you were not resting as deeply as you're finding it possible to rest now, and that there's something
right
more there.
Absolutely right.
Yeah.
That it's deeper now. I've been getting in touch with contentment and seeing the ground that I'm living on, and I'm trying to be identified with the ground like a tree would be, and I'm feeling that would be that's when aging people get caught up with their aging, all they have to do is wipe the thoughts of the past and the future out of their mind and just live right this moment. And they don't have to say, I used to be able to play golf. I used to be able to do this. They don't have to do any of that. And then I'm getting an age for dying. Oh, my God. That's the future. But without the future and past, these moments are precious, and they're ecstatic, just living in the moment. I mean, I've got the stroke and all the stuff, but in this moment, I'm just so satisfied, so content, so present, so quiet, so with my guru, just this moment, yeah.
I see you smiling there so joyfully, and it just really touches my heart. I want to let you know that the depth of that happiness and contentment really does shine brightly through the phone line and through cyberspace from Hawaii to California, I think across the world, and that something in the surrender, in the satsang, in the joy, in the kind of utterly effortless beholding of the beloved that seems to be natural, that I can feel that transmission, and I feel empowered in it. And it's interesting, Ram Dass, you know, I'm the evolutionary dude, right, who's really got a big passion to try to make a difference in the world, and in some ways you're kind of saying, well, don't worry so much about your doing, you know, being really contains it all. But I actually feel helped by that depth of being that you're simply radiating, and feel reinforced in that aspect of my own desire to serve that comes from those depths within myself, and realize that that's the whole reason I wanted to help in the first place, was just the joy, the love wants to flow, kind of, that it...
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I've spent many, many hours of serving in the Seva Foundation, all things like that. And it tremendously valuable to me. And I give. But I didn't think that I as satisfied as that I was then, that I now I'm giving being, I'm giving some help to God to uplift souls.
Mm.
It's very exciting to me.
Mm.
Because before, when I was involved with Seva, we had giving operations for the blind.
Right, right. I remember.
And I know that those operations weren't as meaningful for those people as spiritual things, and that believe me, bringing a person's eyesight back was a big deal. That's a big deal. And
huge
but
deal.
even that was somebody that you can see, you see their soul radiating. Oh boy.
It's, you know, I'm kind of inferentially feeling into what you're saying. Am I reading you when I get the sense then that in some way, even though there was real love motivating all that service, there's now an even deeper trust, and there's a sense that even those motives to serve were rested on some limit of the trust of being that now is blossoming even more fully, and that's what you'd really point me and all of us to.
Yeah. And I was doing helping.
Mm.
And now I'm help.
Mm.
I'm help. Because people are, they're stuck in this plane.
Mm.
And they're wishing that they can be with the beloved.
Mm.
I think they're wishing. Their hearts are wishing. And now that's now the business. In the business. And that's Jews and Christians and Muslims and Hindus and Buddhists.
And Buddhists, right.
And I just, they all have the same thing. The same thing. Yeah.
Mm. Well, Ram Dass, thank you. It's getting to be time for us to transition to our Q&A. And I want to say something to all of you folks. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for bearing with our technical difficulties, particularly toward the beginning of this call. I want to let you know that Ram Dass and I did hold a conversation a little over a week ago that we edited together just in order to make it a little less taxing on his stamina. We wanted to play that recording as if it were happening live at the beginning of this, and then transition to the live Q&A after that happened. So we had some trouble with the playback, and so we've gone ahead and kind of jumped in and done this live on the spot. But when we finish with this call, we will edit it together. Richard Klein, who's the series producer, will edit this together, and we will have available for download that whole original discussion plus some of what we've extended here. So those of you who've tuned in, you know, you're invited to also download, and you'll hear a rich discussion that I really loved having with Ram Dass in addition to this. But now, thank you, Ram Dass. That was wonderful, and it is time for us to remember our sponsors and make some announcements. Maestro Conference is a unique voice-based online collaboration platform that integrates the web and your telephone to support large-scale, real-time, remote conferences, seminars, and interactive events. Using cutting-edge technology that empowers individual awareness and engagement, Maestro Conference offers a whole new way to engage people and create relationships, combining the ease of passive media with the engagement and excitement of live events. Visit them on the web at maestroconference.com. That's M-A-E-S-T-R-O, maestroconference.com. And I certainly want to mention the Love, Serve, Remember Foundation at ramdass.org, where Ram Dass shares his heart in cyberspace through live webcasts and personal webcasts. They also have a vast archive of his talks from the 60s through the present day. That's ramdass.org. And also, there'll be a weekend online workshop, Open Your Heart in Paradise, which will be a live webcast from Maui on December 17th and 18th with Ram Dass, Krishna Dass, and Sharon Salzberg. And you can sign up to participate in that at ESO, like the first two syllables of the word esoteric, ESO. Guru, ESOGURU.com. That's ESOGURU.com. Also, please stay tuned, and at the very end of this call, I'll tell you a little more about my upcoming interviews this coming week. I'll be talking with Sally Kempton, a wonderfully insightful contemporary integral spiritual teacher who's also known as Swami Durgananda in the Kashmir Shaivite tradition of her guru, Swami Muktananda. And that will be this Thursday, December 2nd. And I'll be speaking with Barbara Marks Hubbard, the mother of conscious evolution, next Sunday, a week from today. And then on December 5th, the following Thursday, I'll be speaking with Adya Shanti. And I'd like to express my deep thanks to the many of you who responded with such open hearts and expressing so much appreciation and love after reading my blog that I put up the day before Thanksgiving on our series blog at beyondawakeningseries.com/blog. For those of you who haven't seen it, it includes a wonderful short video featuring Brother David Steindl-Rast that offers a poignant reminder of the blessing of this very day, every day. So, wonderful. Let's get into the question and answer section of this evening with Ram Dass. And if you have a question, you can type it into the window in the instant teleseminar screen if you've dialed in via your computer. And if you've called in by phone, you can raise your hand by pressing *2 on your keypad. And please ask a concise question and so we can give Ram Dass some chance to answer. So going to the teleseminar windows, Bess asks, Ramdas, what is the path of love, and what are the greatest obstacles? What one or two simple things can we do to stay mindful of the path of love, no matter what?
Well, we have to move our identification from our ego, I think I am, that's ego, down to middle of the heart, which is your real identity. And when you start to speak from that heart place, you have already you are in love, and you're coming close to yoga, because you're getting close to the beloved. Unfortunately, loving the ego, loving, is not, it's not fruitful.
It's not the doing of the loving that is the point here, huh?
That's right. And loving other people. And that feels right, but it's not the real love. The real love. And that's love to the beloved. You know, that there's so many heart places, like there's the beating heart, then there's the emotional heart, and then the spiritual heart. In the emotional heart, all the different emotions, but it's not the emotional heart does not cover love, because love comes through the Atman and then the Jivatman. In other words, it comes from God to our individual souls.
So that the way we practice it is, in a way, not a doing, it's a getting out of the way, a surrendering, a noticing, a calming of letting the agitation relax enough so that the heart naturally notices the way we are being loved in a way. We be loved by letting the love that is coming to us. Is that, am I tuning in when I say that?
The works is you love your environment, you love yourself, you love people around you, once you're in soul. And then you get loved, as if you get back from that. And what you get back from that is unconditional love. That means whatever you are this moment, you loved for that. Our thoughts and our history and you get unconditionally loved. Wow.
I'm curious, Ramdas, how does that relate? How does that change your perspective on the, you know, that there's been a theme in some of our discussions in which some people have said, embrace your humanity and your and don't try to transcend your, you know, so much the spiritual bypassing is as dangerous an issue as any, to let go into the humanness. Are you in some way do you have a different perspective on that issue from this place of radical being love right here, right now, first, last, and always?
We have two planes of consciousness that we have, that we're both me. The ego and the soul, and we're two plane beings, and you don't forfeit one of those beings, one of those planes for the other. You can get them all. You've got to be in your ego and in your soul. And I don't think I've forfeited my humanity. I think I've added to my humanity. And in fact, I've made my humanity rich, so much richer. Like if you're an emotion, then the soul is watching that emotion. And therefore, you're living the emotion, and you're watching the emotion, and that's enriching for your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And somehow God loves you through you, and you become the eyes and heart of God, loving and accepting all that humanity.
But the humanity, you know, the incarnation is a teaching experiment for you to rid yourself of karma you've done from past lives. In this incarnation, your father and your mother and your brothers and sisters and friends and the culture you're in and the times you're in, all of that is your teachings, and so that you get rid of stuff in your soul.
Mm. We have another question here from Laura Palmer. Laura says, "Thank you so much, Ram Dass. Please, could you say something about becoming? What about the energy that yearns to create, to take responsibility for the evolution of consciousness in ourselves and for our culture, to get up off our zafu and to interact with others to bring consciousness alive for others?"
I'm getting to feel that the numbers game, although that's Western to even the numbers, the numbers of people who are meditating, who are their gurus, hatha yoga, and that's manifesting the consciousness of a spiritual consciousness in the society. I'm thinking that conferences or retreats, I go to them, but I know that individually, it's what we do individually. I think we stay seated on our zafus. You know, there are many beings who live in caves in the Himalayas, and they don't come out. They don't come out.
and they are contributing to the vibration of the whole thing. Yeah.
Thank you. There's a question here from Jillian in Nimbin, Australia. I think that's in New South Wales. Ram Dass, you make being love sound so natural and easy, but isn't it the case that most of us have to apply ourselves to spiritual disciplines and yoga and metal and physical purification before we begin to understand, let alone experience, the depth of loving that you're talking about?
I think that you can start with loving, and then you'll feel calm inside, and then you'll want wisdom, and you will want energy, and you will want peace. I'm a bhakti yogi, and that's, we go to the ultimate by bhakti wings. Some of the people want to be energy things, and they'll work on their kundalini. Some people want to use their mind there, and Raja yogas yani yogas. But I feel that love is the goal, and love is the method.
And in just staying as vulnerable and as self-disclosing and as in some soul way so naked as you describe all this, Ram Dass, I feel close to you and I feel served. I don't feel pulled away from that aspect of my yoga that intends to serve and make a difference. I just feel reminded yet again that in my loving impulse, in the vibration, in the intention, in the trust, in the surrender, in the searchless beholding of the beloved who is always before me, I'm sane, and my help isn't agitated, and I'm not just doing things in order to make up for some deficit, and that is so important. And, you know, this conversation just really reinforces that foundational loving context for the whole matter.
Boy, that gave my heart a boost.
What goes around comes around. We have a question on the phone line from someone in Wayne, Michigan. You're on the air, please.
Well, hi, this is Sam. How are you guys this evening?
I'm good. Hi, Sam. Welcome.
Hi. Well, it's great to be with you, Terry. I just definitely wanted to say thank you very much for the series so far. And I do have a question about cities, especially in coming more into an integral mindset of using lines and states and levels and things and actually being able to explain it. I know both of you have some familiarity, so maybe you could both, interweave a little conversation about it.
About the spiritual powers that Maharaji...
If you'd like, yeah, but I'm talking more about just embodying some of the phenomena that I've experienced. So a lot of times me hearing what you guys have personally experienced, not so much with power, but with, you know, integrating our these different lines of development, oftentimes artwork, and, you know, I do a lot with state, and I'm kind of alone and doing a lot of this stuff, but I think that... You know, once you reach a certain peak or a certain level, that integral seems to guide us. And it seems like that's a city, to me, developing.
Yeah. Cities are astral. They're not causal. They're For example, our intellect is a city.
Mm.
We learn to use our cities wisely. Cities like Maharaji or all the other saints I put in my book, Be Loved Now, they're doing things for softening up their devotees. I found that I got attracted to siddhis for my own power needs.
Mm.
And I think that if I stayed away from them, or stayed away from thinking about them, I'd gotten there quicker.
You know, I find myself just thinking that that of all the cities, the city that is the most fundamental is the city of the heart, the city of transcendental love, the city that is expressed in a kind of care and ecstatic service. Well, even the service is an effect. That the city itself is a sort of being care that overflows into doings that could be astral or etheric or vital or mental or anything, and that maybe the point of these cultivations of these capacities is to discover that we can relax the karma that drew us to cultivate them in the first place, and become more given to the let the love carry us like a surfboard, you know, where it's really heading.
And cities, I found that the cities in the holy people in India, I gave human beings much more honor because they have so much in them. And we have so much cities that we can use to get on with it in evolution.
Mm. Mm. That's so beautiful, Ramdas. There's we're really towards the end of our time. There's just one more question or kind of comment from one of the listeners that I wanted to offer to you. One of the things that I've shared with everybody is my own struggle to find a profound yes, a yes to life, a yes to love, a yes to this uncertain world and to serving. And Doro from Fremont wrote in and said, is it turning our no into a yes? Could you please ask him for me? And my understanding, this is a key, because it feels like something that I can consciously do. I think that's maybe the courage, you know, in the place where we're discouraged to find a yes. Do you have anything to say about that to finish up, Ramdas?
To find our yes.
Hmm.
Boy, what I've done is surrender. I've surrendered to God. I've surrendered to the One, and I'm happy to have my life controlled by the One, because the One is much more consciousness than I am. Yeah, I think that makes it a yes.
Yeah, yeah. But that surrender is a yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes. Well, there it is. It's a surrendering that is a yes, too. Yes. Well, thank you. Everybody, before I tell you what's coming up next week and before we open up the lines so we can all hear each other's voices and say goodbye, just a few reminders. One is, please visit our blog. This is where you'll be able to download this conversation in its entirety, including the pre-recorded section. That's beyondawakeningseries.com/blog. And there are some blogs from me, and there's been a wonderful, juicy, lively exchange recently taking place. So please do visit that, and you can share that with friends as well. BeyondAwakeningSeries.com/Facebook will connect you to many folks and discussions as well. And if you know anyone who might be interested to connect with this, just direct them to the main website, BeyondAwakeningSeries.com, and people can sign up and download all of these dialogues for free. And you're invited to post any comments or suggestions or questions for upcoming dialogues there as well. If you're interested to learn more about my work, please visit integralspiritualpractice.com. And in response to some of you who had asked about it after Tuesday's dialogue, you can find out more about the teachings and writings of Lama Surya Das at surya.org. That's S-U-R-Y-A.org. And also askthelama.com. That's askthelama.com. And I also want to thank Bay Area Integral, which works to create a vibrant, thriving community of integral practitioners in the San Francisco Bay Area. The purpose is to pioneer the playground where integral culture evolves. If you're in the greater San Francisco Bay Area, you'll want to visit bayareaintegral.com to get on the mailing list. And you're in time to attend the first annual God in Everybody All Quadrant Pre-Trans Gala Christmas Party on December 8th of this year. You can find out more about it at bayareaintegral.com. And please remember to tune in this Thursday. I'll be talking with Sally Kempton, formerly known as Swami Durgananda. She's widely known as a powerful meditation guide and as a spiritual teacher who integrates yoga philosophy with daily life. Her conversation with me is titled, What is Progress on the Spiritual Path? And we'll look at issues like the role of desperation in awakening, the roller coaster experience, how the universe teaches us grace, surrender, self-responsibility, our myths about spiritual progress, and much more, including how spiritual progress can help us come together in the creation of a sangha of sanghas, a metta-sangha. That's this Thursday, December 2nd. And then I'll be speaking with Barbara Marks Hubbard next Sunday, a week from today, on December 5th, on conscious evolution, communing with a future that wants to manifest through us. And the following Thursday, I'll be speaking with Ajashanti. So thank you so much for joining me and Ram Dass tonight. Let's open up the phone lines so everybody can hear each other's voices and say goodbye. Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye.